So Rachel, thank you so much for coming. So Rachel and my brother Nick have come from deepest, darkest Lancashire to be with us this weekend, which is great. Rachel, tell us a little bit about how you came to faith or when you came to faith in Jesus.
So I was 8 years old when I first came to know God. I grew up in a Christian home. So I always kind of knew that God was there and alive and at work. I didn't really know God at eight. He very much came into my heart and I felt him there at that point. But my real personal relationship with him was very much in my later years.
Brilliant. And when I first got to know you, which was about 14 years ago now, you were had a neurological condition called transverse myelitis, which was pretty debilitating. Can you just tell us a little bit about what that looked like and kind of what the symptoms of that were, what life was like when you had that condition, please?
Yeah, so my condition started after my daughter was born. She was just a few months old, and things were really good. I was really, really healthy at the time of her birth. And then I woke up one morning and I had weird sensations in my body. My leg then proceeded to start dragging. My arm curled into like a claw. And I just looked really quite strange, not how a 26-year-old should look, and certainly not how I'd been previously. The doctors sent me away quite a few times, and even the hospital kept sending me away until eventually I couldn't pick my three-month-old baby out of a cot to feed her. And my mum took me in, the church all prayed, and we said, "We are not leaving until you see her." God gave us a doctor whose wife had just had a baby. So we were there with little Harmony, my baby, and he said, "We're not leaving you like this." So they scanned me and found a big lesion in my spine, admitted me to hospital. I wasn't responding to steroids and medication. And I deteriorated to the point that they called my family and they all came to my bedside and were saying their goodbyes. It was really quite frightening with a three-month-old.
I gather at that point your church were praying. Oh, sorry, I cry.
Where's the tissues?
Yeah. Your church were praying for you. Tell us a bit about that.
They were. So it was a church that I'd grown up in, and I'd, as a young adult, I hadn't found a church where I'd moved to. So I just started to get back in with them, and it was the same people. They were just like a home from home, part of my family. And they kind of, groups of women came to the hospital to pray. You were only supposed to have two in at a time, and I had about 12 around my bedside praying. And they had a prayer meeting one evening, and it was for an hour, and it was a prayer chain that went worldwide. It reached Hong Kong, all praying that I would pull through. And I'm not sure what night that was on, but on the Thursday night, it must have been a couple of days later, after the women had brought this shawl in, they'd all prayed with this shawl, and they brought it in, and they placed it over my legs and prayed. And it was like the prayers that had been prayed in the room that night just came and seeped into my body. And although I didn't feel it at the moment because I was very drugged and struggling to continue, the next morning I swung my legs out of the bed and I walked to the toilet. But the night before I couldn't even stand, I couldn't weight bear. And you couldn't breathe near me because I could feel it burning my skin. It was remarkable. It was God saving my life, basically.
That moment, kind of, again, a miracle of preserving you into that moment. But so since then, obviously, there have been ups and downs in terms of your physical well-being. Just tell us how the last few years have been.
So I still had the neurological condition. So it's called transverse myelitis. And it presents very much in the way MS does. You, or types of MS. So I had relapses, so I could have a period of being fairly well, able to get around on crutches. For anything more than sometimes a few yards, I would need my wheelchair. There was times that I'd be stuck in bed for weeks, months in hospital. I had to learn to walk twice because after a relapse, I lost everything. It was really, really hard. And to top it all off, Harmony's dad and my husband at the time, he left. So I became a single mum as well to a little girl and had to readjust my life. But the thing is, in all the really, really difficult parts of that, God was just absolutely by my side. And although it didn't feel like it all the time, because when you're stuck in bed and you're in pain 24 hours of the day and you haven't even got the energy to get up or make food or anything like that, there was a safety that came from God and that came through his people, through the people of the church, through my family. And he never, ever left me. And looking back, you can see that so clearly. At the time, it's really hard to see it. But looking back, oh my goodness, was he there.
And you said lots of people being, obviously, been praying for you, your church been praying for you. I know your family were praying really hard for you too. And you kind of went for lots of prayer with in churches and various things as well, is that right?
Yeah. Healing events, I want to do this, are wonderful. It's a really good opportunity to meet with God and just allow the Holy Spirit to move and be free. When you turn up in a wheelchair and they call you forward for prayer and they say, oh, God's healing power, which he has, no question about that, obviously. but when somebody prays for you, and then they say, right, up you get, Rachel. Let's see you walking. Let's see your legs. And you can't. You just think, oh, my goodness. What have I done wrong? Do I not believe enough? Why not? You know, other people are saying, oh, look, I can move my arm, you know, where I couldn't move it before, and you're still sat in a wheelchair. And it breaks something a bit more inside you every time that happens. Mm-hmm. And it happened quite a lot.
Yeah.
So I think I had resigned myself to this is my life, this is where God needs me to be. And although all that stuff at the front is what my life was, in that came hospital appointments, came long stays in hospitals and treatments where I was able to talk to nurses and they saw the hope of Jesus in me and were like, gosh, why are you actually happy? And it's like, well, because life is good. It's hard. I'm in pain. I can't do very much. There was a lot to it. But I had the hope of Jesus. And there is no hope like Jesus. There just isn't. Sorry, I think I've gone off a bit
no,
there.
I'm just pausing because I'm just trying to... you know, sort myself out. There's something extraordinary in that, isn't there? The mystery of why God heals then and not there, why he heals that person and not that person, the timing, who, all those things, there's such a huge mystery. And trusting that God is sovereign in that and that he knows what is his purposes are and that they're good and they're right is really hard. It must have been really hard for you in that when going to those meetings. And yet I love that you could cling on to him and that you could actually... wonderfully, and I think that's a testimony of so many, and it's certainly a testimony in the Bible, isn't it, of Christians holding on to Jesus through those moments and him wonderfully, A, sustaining you, but also giving you opportunities to share the gospel with people and the hope of Christ. I think that's a really beautiful thing in suffering, isn't it, that he sustains us in that. It's lovely. Thank you for...
And please don't get me wrong, in the times that were really quite troubling, when I found it really hard to see Jesus, knowing that family and people that I loved, even people that hadn't seen me for 20 years, were praying for me, like from the very north of Scotland, my granny's knitting club prayed every single day for me. And these are women that are in the 90s, you know. So I knew that even when I couldn't see Jesus, he was still being called on by all these amazing people.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Thank you for sharing that. Excellent. Let's enlist knitting clubs all around the country. So you and the family went to Spain last year. I can only imagine that actually going on holiday, I mean, looking at all this paraphernalia that you brought down from Lancashire, you were saying to me yesterday that it was clinking and crunching in the car, you didn't have much space in the car, you know, all the kit that you need to go anywhere, or you needed, past tense, and also just going abroad probably is quite a big thing in itself when you had, you know, the worst of that condition. But you went to Spain. Tell us a bit about what happened in Spain last August.
Have we got time for me to tell you how we got to Spain?
Yes.
So, Nick, my wonderful husband, is terrible at making decisions. So, going on holiday is a really big decision. And it takes an awful long time to make it. And eventually I said, if we don't book a holiday, we're not going anywhere. So we sat in different rooms, on different computers, and I said, right, we have an hour to pick our top 10 places. So we were each on different websites looking for holidays. Now, we both picked the same villa on different websites. And it was like, okay, let's go here. And we So our children always come to church with us. And on, we said, let's go to church on Sunday. So we looked up English-speaking churches. There were two. So on the Saturday night, we looked up. And the one that looked absolutely amazing, really lively and charismatic looking, they had their service on the Saturday. And we were like, oh, no. This other one looks a bit duller. but we want to meet Jesus, and Jesus isn't dull. So... we went there instead. The children didn't want to come with us, which is just really odd because normally they would absolutely be by our side. So we were able to go off to church. It just felt very orchestrated by God as to where we went, or it does now looking back. I've forgotten. I'm sorry. I get so excited at this bit because it's just so... I was in quite a bad place emotionally during this holiday. Normally the heat of a hot country and not having so much physical demand, my pain reduces, so I'm normally in quite a good place, and I really wasn't. And my nerve pain had all come out really quite bad, and to the point that when the last few times she'd heard from me, she thought I was calling to say, I'm going into hospital, because I'm starting to relapse. And that wasn't the case. But we arrived at church. I'd already been crying in the car because everybody was going, you know, water surfing and everything. And I was just like, I'm desperate to do stuff like this. Like, this was my life before, doing fun, exciting things. And I was watching, trying to be happy for them on the outside, but inside, hurting and... feeling, yeah, like I was a bit hard done to. But then you feel guilty for feeling like that. So it's just a vicious circle. And I think that's where the devil has a bit of a foothold. You know, he just presses our buttons. God is so much greater than that. Because the church that we went into on crutches was a sermon about how David went into the cave broken, on his own, you know, and he came out a commander of 500 men, you know, championing, and it's everything. That is our life. We live in caves. We all have something. If it's not physical, it's emotional or financial or addictions, whatever it is, we all have something. And at the end of the service, a gentleman came up to me. So I've been crying the whole service. I looked a mess, and I just wanted to go home to the children in the pool. And he came up and he said, God's told me to pray for you. And I know 13 years in to not say no to prayer. So I was like, okay, come on, let's go home. And we prayed for an hour and a half about people that I needed to forgive, that I didn't realize I was holding unforgiveness for, things that I needed to ask God for forgiveness for, and to be brutally honest in front of people that you've never met before, in a room where there's still a lot of people, is quite difficult. But it was very orchestrated by God. And he never actually prayed for physical healing for me. So it was all spiritual and emotional healing that I received. And if I'd have left at that point, I'd have felt like I was skipping. I'd have been on crutches, but I felt inside like I was skipping. And to top it off, I just had this overwhelming surge to walk. And I got up without my crutches. And I walked for the first time unaided in 13 years. And I haven't used a stick or a crutch or had leg braces or had pain, or kind of neurological pain anyway. It's hard having a headache nowadays. But I'm nearly off all of my medication, and my neurological condition that is incurable is now not attached to me.
Yeah. It is, I mean, praise God.
You know.
It's just amazing, isn't it? It's just wonderful to see him at work. One of the questions I asked you, and lots of people have asked me as I've shared your story, is what did people say? Particularly, what did your doctors say? Because I was thinking, I can just imagine that conversation. But
yeah, it's a bit of an anticlimax, I'm afraid, for the consultant.
I don't know if we have any
doctors in the house. But I think when you face them with something that's a bit different, when it can't be explained medically, it's like a... So his response was, he sat and he nodded a lot, smiling like, oh, yeah, thinking I'm a bit crazy. And I was like, no, but really, I can do the can-can, you know. Like, hello.
Well, I've always wanted to do the can-can.
but he said, oh, but you're in a good place now. You know, you're married, you're settled. And it was like, but oh my goodness, there are functional things. Like my hip used to pop with every step that I took. My muscle would pop through the tendon. It was agony. Prayer, and it stops. There is no question in it. And I said, are you going to scan me again? You know, you need to look at my spine. And he's like, well, what do you expect to see? And I said, well, Jesus was here, 2023. It's like, yeah, so. And I said that as well, because I thought it's really important just to make sure that he knew exactly what had happened.
Yeah, let's pray for that doctor, that he's still ruminating on going, hang on a minute, what was going on there? You didn't do the can-can, well, you may have done the can-can, I don't know. Just, I forgot to ask you, when you came back, obviously from the church, you were not only emotionally, spiritually skipping, you were physically skipping. Just tell us how you just spoke to the children, well, not spoke to them, but just how you came back to the villa. So fun.
Well, first of all, we got an earful from Harmony because we'd been away for like 2.5 hours by the time we were taking the travel. And she was like, I thought you'd left us. And I was like, okay. And I just walked along and
at the swimming pool,
I went up the 7 stairs to get to the pool, which I couldn't do stairs before. And I just kind of walked along and I'm like, Harmony, we're back from church. Hi. And she's like, I'm still really angry. And I was like, Harmony. And I fully clothed, just ran and I dive bombed right next to her. And she just kind of went, what did you do that for? She still didn't see. It's like, how did she not see that? Yeah. That I didn't have the disability anymore.
No crutch and no...
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Amazing, amazing. I think they're getting to, coming to terms with it now, although they're getting their heads around it a bit. Although, having said that, it is one of those things, isn't it, that it is quite hard to get your head round.
Yeah.
How have you kind of understood what the Lord has done and so on? And, you know, just the whole concept of healing is a hard one, as you were sharing earlier about when we long for somebody to be healed or ourselves to be healed, and God decides not to in his purposes and his sovereign power, but, you know, and he has good things for us and all those things. How do you understand what God's done for you?
I don't.
Okay.
Genuinely, I really don't. I have more questions now than I had before. Before, life is just what life is, and that's your lot, and that's what you get. For God to flip it on its head, after such a long time, I spent the first few months thinking, oh my goodness, he's got something huge for me. Oh no, I hate talking in front of people. I can't do that. I can't do this, I can't do that. And it was like, I got myself tied up in knots. And then eventually a few people said, do you not think maybe God just did it because he loves you? And I was like, oh gosh, it could be that. Because he does, and I'm not special. I know I am to God. But there is nothing different about me to anybody else. And I don't understand. I don't know how else to say I don't get it. But I'm so grateful. So grateful.
Absolutely. I have vicariously felt the same, really. I've had lots of questions, like praising God, and lots of questions. Mm. And I think for those who are around next Sunday, we're going to, in this slot, Learning for Life, we're going to think a little bit about kind of expectations for healing, and having a bit of space and time to think some of that through, look at God's word together, because there is a lot of mystery in it, isn't there, as to why and who and when and so on. Because, you know, as believers, we know that one day we will all be healed in the new creation, and that is a wonderful promise. For the here and now, we don't necessarily know what God's plans are for us. We want to rejoice with you for his work in your life. It's wonderful and such an encouragement to us. This obviously has massively changed your life. Has it changed your life physically, emotionally, spiritually? Any final reflections on that, or kind of how God has changed your life through this?
I mean, we have a lift in our house if anybody needs a lift, because I enjoy the stairs now. This has opened my life personally, to be able to lead worship in church, because fatigue was such a huge part of the condition. Now, it's like I have endless energy, and nothing is going to kind of push me over the edge. I think really getting alongside people that you know are struggling is really, really important. There's going to be times when they cancel on you at last minute, and just they don't message you back for months. Don't give up on that person. Just keep going, keep reaching out, tell them that you're praying, pray. But if it's you, just don't give up. Don't give up. And we don't know God's plan. We just see the messy side of the canvas. But God absolutely sees the beauty on the other side. And you know, it's all good. It is all good. It's hard, but it's good.
And how has it encouraged your faith and the faith of others around you? Have you seen that?
Well, God is real. I knew he was real, but now it's like, I know he is real. Like, I've physically felt the Holy Spirit in my body move, actually move. Hmm. Like, it was really silly sitting down saying it, because I want to just jump around and say it.
Like, feel free.
The same God in the Bible is doing miracles today, tomorrow, right through.
Yeah. Praise God. I was just talking with a couple earlier, and we were talking about how sometimes those miracles are very demonstrably, you know, validated, like yours. You know, you can walk. I mean, you know, if you'd been here last year, you couldn't have got up those steps, you know, and so on. And that is, you know, sort of thank God for that. But we were saying that sometimes those miracles are things that we don't necessarily see.
Yeah.
the sort of miracles that you were talking about earlier about sustaining you and keeping you, and when your faith was low, actually others were praying for you and keeping you, you know, keeping you going, and so on. And there's so many, you know, God meeting us in sad times and hard times. Those are miracles too, aren't they? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't necessarily see them.
Yeah.
But it is great to know, and it's wonderful to hear your story and hear how God has worked in your life. Thank you very much for sharing. We're nearly out of time. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm here all morning. Ta-da! So if anybody does want to talk, I'm very happy to.
Brilliant. Thank you. We're going to hear a little bit more in the children's slot as well in their 11 o'clock service. We've got a couple of minutes if anyone wanted to ask a question. Rachel's here all day, so if not now, feel free to ask her. Great. Shall I pray? Oh, Sarah. Oh, no. So, I'm so sorry, Rachel. I missed you.
Well, I'll come to you.
Yeah, I mean, let's echo that. I totally echo that. Thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for lifting our eyes to see a powerful God, a wonderful God, a caring God, a loving God, an awesome God. That I know is your heartbeat. Let's pray.